Welcome to the Paint to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 45 of the From Pain to Power podcast. I hope you're doing well. I've been kind of sitting here thinking a little bit about January, and it's funny, I don't know about yourself, but a lot of my friends and I are finding ourselves surprisingly busy for like the second and third week of January as I'm recording this. So if you're feeling the same, you're not alone. And if I find myself more busy than I was anticipating, then it's an opportunity for me to lean into pockets in the day for tending to my own needs, such as any kind of tidying up or groceries or exercise or rest or anything like that, to try and find little moments where I can do those things, and then also to let go of any perfectionism. Sometimes I do look at my diary and ask myself, what can I shift and move around, or what can I take off the to-do list? Yeah, there's kind of a certain point where my capacity, I know it's going to be too much for a particular week, and then I'll have to kind of make a few adjustments. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking about this January. Today, we're going to be talking about trauma and chronic pain. And episode 43 and 44, we talked about what trauma is. And then we talked about trauma and the mind-body connection. And I guess I'm organically, I suppose, following a little thread here around the theme of trauma, as it's such a big topic in my work. It has been such a big topic in my professional education and now also in my private practice and in my group work. And I know that the world is starting to have more conversations about this, particularly the wellness world. Yeah, it's a really, really important topic to consider, and I'm excited to be part of that conversation with you. So we first talked about what trauma is and a little bit about the body and the mind-body connection. And just as a summary, I would advise you to go back and listen to the previous two episodes. But as a summary, trauma is when something happens in our reality, in our lives, that is too much for our nervous system to process in the here and now, and then has an impact in the future. So say, for example, something happened to me when I was younger and it still affects me emotionally and prevents me from moving forward with a particular thing in my life. And it's usually, you know, there's so many different types of trauma and I'll come to those in a minute, but it usually is because, you know, life happens and we all have difficult life experiences, but it usually is something that we didn't get support with, or we didn't get the adequate amount of holding or witnessing or healing at the time, and because it wasn't safe or it wasn't available. And so the impact of trauma still impacts us today. And it's very much, at least from this mind-body perspective, we talk about it using the word somatic. So somatic being of the body and more specifically of the nervous system. And so when something traumatic happens to us, we go into either a freeze response if we don't have the availability to fight or flight, or we go into the fight-flight response. And trauma is always about the reality of danger or threat, or the perceived threat. And the nervous system is always on the lookout for cues of danger and cues of safety. And when something happens to us, then it can kind of wire our nervous system to be in its defenses. And it impacts us on a somatic level, on the body level, and on the psychological level. And so because we're talking about the somatic experience of trauma, we're also talking about hormones, which I talked about before. So if we are in a fight or flight response, so that trauma response, if we're hijacked by the fight flight response for a long period of time, and for some people, a lot of people live in the fight flight response, and I believe that is also response to our culture, and I'll come to that in a minute, it means that we have a lot of stress hormones in the body. Okay, and this is where this link comes in with chronic pain. So for people who have chronic pain, which is quite a lot of people, or any kind of unexplained, undiagnosed, untreated condition or something like that, or chronic pain condition in my world, that would be in my professional world, things like endometriosis, maybe even PMDD. There's a link between, or there can be a link between trauma and chronic pain, because if there is trauma there, it means then that our physiology, so our trauma physiology, creates an inflammatory, or can create an inflammatory environment. And then we have more pain signals being sent in the body, more signals of danger in the body. And pain, again, like from a trauma-informed perspective, we're always looking at this, the question of why, like what's the purpose of something? There's always a reason. So if you do identify with that idea of being in the fight-flight response a lot, don't worry about it, because it's there for a reason. It's there to protect you. It's there because something happened in the past and your body just hasn't had a chance to process those difficult feelings or that difficult experience, which is very normal. And so being in a fight-flight response is a protective, self-protective response to protect you, to keep you safe and to keep you alive. And so it's the same with pain. If you touch a hot stove, you will feel pain. And the purpose of that pain is for you to take your hand off the stove and to remove yourself from the danger or the threat. Okay, so we can be compassionate towards these responses, and we can be understanding towards these responses, whether they are psychological or relational and or physiological. But it's, even though it's very difficult to do that, it's very difficult to be compassionate towards something that is causing us suffering. And I suppose therein lies, you know, the next level of self-coaching and the next level of skill in your own relationship with yourself, that we can have both feelings. We can have disappointment and grief and anger towards our chronic pain and our experience. And at the same time, we can also feel kindness towards ourselves and compassion, or we can act kindly even if we're not feeling particularly self-loving. Okay. So I'm going to just chat a little bit about examples of trauma, because I think that's an important thing. There's so many different type, like different ways trauma can present for people. And I'm just going to talk from the top of my head, really, from my understanding from the training that I did in trauma therapy. But there can be, you know, and this list is not complete. So there'll be, you know, other things that are on the list that I don't necessarily mention. But just to give you some examples, so physical impact, so that could be a fall or a crash or a knock to the head or a burn or something physical where you have a very somatic, localized experience of pain and suffering. I suppose a physical example could also be like a surgery as well, even though that's, you know, you're doing that by choice and that makes it a little bit more complicated on the psychological level, but that would also be like a physical trauma. You can have developmental trauma, so any kind of interpersonal trauma to do with childhood. An example could be neglect. So that would be a form of developmental, or even just birth trauma as well as another thing. And neglect, I said already, abuse, assault, you know, all these kind of, like, to put simply, like bad things happening to you or to someone. And it usually, in those circumstances, they're kind of like once-off events or a series of events. And then I've also written down here, because this is a huge part of my work and what I see, and it's not really talked about as much, but it is really, really important for me to name this. So traumas that are kind of systemic and a little bit more invisible. So, for example, traumas that carry an element of discrimination or shame. So that's where we're, when we're thinking about things like systems of oppression, for example, racism or sexism or homophobia, those are also traumatic for people. And I suppose the difference between those and the kind of physical impact ones is that, not in terms of their impact, but just in terms of their, the way they present, is that the systems of oppression, they are, can be kind of invisible and they're a little bit harder to identify. And so we can feel a lot of shame around how we feel because we don't really understand why we feel a certain way, or we don't really understand why we're behaving in a certain way, when actually we're just trying to stay safe in a society that maybe is causing harm to you. And another thing about one of those types of traumas is that it has this element of a kind of being incessant, so a little bit never ending. It's, you know, the people who experience that can feel like, God, when is this ever going to end? Okay. But I suppose bullying would be kind of similar if you're in a workplace or in school, like a bullying situation where you might feel trapped, where there's a little bit of a, like a power over experience would have a similar impact. And the reason I bring that up is because Obviously, shame is linked to a lot of the conversations we have about the menstrual cycle. That's very much a type of trauma that I see as a result of sexism. And then I speak to a lot of women who have navigated the medical system, and they've experienced, unfortunately, maybe they've experienced shaming or discrimination on some level in the medical system, which is very traumatic, because in the medical system, you're dealing with a system, and the systems are quite powerful, and they can have power over you and the individual doctors as well. The medical system tends to be quite a patriarchal model. And so, yeah, it's not so much encouraged to prioritize the listening of women, for example. So I have spoken to women who have reported instances of feeling like they've been gaslighted. Is that the term? Gaslighted? I'm not sure if that's the past tense. And so, yeah, even as I'm speaking to this, I'm feeling like, God, this is kind of heavy, heavy, Lisa. But it's important to consider all these different types of traumas in this work and for yourself, if you're following me or if you're training with me. I know a lot of you who are listening are professionals who are learning from me as well, and we're learning with me rather as well, that these are invisible systems, and the impact of those can be very detrimental. And ultimately, at the end of the day, when we return to our physiology, trauma results in inflammation in the body, and it results in a lack of feeling safe, and it results in people, yeah, just feeling unsafe. And if you're not feeling safe, your nervous system is going to be in a lot of the fight, flight, or the freeze response, sadly. And it's very difficult to be in that state, in those states, for a long period of time, especially if you're hijacked in those states for a long period of time. So when it comes to chronic pain, I guess the reason why I'm talking about all these different types of trauma and the link between trauma and chronic pain is because if you are someone who experiences chronic pain and you've been on a journey of trying to heal your chronic pain or trying to figure out the answer, you know, you might consider also your history of trauma. I believe the majority of people have experienced trauma on different levels. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's part of being human. And there's a lot of information out there nowadays, and there's a lot more support. There's a lot of help out there. There's a lot of hope. I have faith in every human being powerful enough to move through even the most dire circumstances. I really, really do. And I think it's important that you get support with these things. So I'm going to speak a little bit more about the hope with all this. And that's really, really important. So when we are thinking about our trauma and thinking about healing it, we want to be really kind with ourselves. We want to be really gentle and not like kind of go in head first. So lots of kindness, lots of gentleness, lots of self-care, lots of patience with yourself and trusting in your body. So even when we do a little bit of healing work, it can really go a long way. It can have really a ripple effect. If you think about family systems, even say if you are struggling, there's a lot of trauma, say, in the whole family, and it's impacting your whole family, and it might be manifesting as mental illness and or addiction, for example. You know, even just one person in the family doing their healing work can have a really positive impact on the relationships in the family. So just that's just an example that, you know, you don't have to be doing like heavy lifting with this stuff. Really, it can be light, it can be gentle, it can be in your own time. And, you know, you get to decide what tools and practices that you lean into that you like. And most importantly, if you're working with someone that you feel like you're in a shared space of power with the person that's supporting you as well, to support you in your own agency and your self-direction of this stuff. So I've written down here in my journal, like when we're thinking about trauma healing, when we start to do trauma healing work, and again, there's so many different ways to do it. There's particular ways that I work with it. I use somatic-based practices, coaching practices, a little bit of movement, and I, you know, teach people about this so that they can figure out their own thing. But I think ultimately the healing is in the connection. So sometimes even just sitting in the room with me or with someone else who's helping you through these things, that is a very powerful thing to do, to sit and have a cup of tea and co-regulate together and talk about these things in a safe space where, you know, your story can be heard and you can get some guidance. So when we do start to unravel from this fight-flight response, what we're really thinking is we want to bring as much regulation into the nervous system, because if we have been in that fight-flight or the freeze response for a very, very long time, you know, that's the normal place. That is the place where you are in the system. And so we have to very gently come out of that. But, you know, it can be dysregulating to swing in the opposite direction. So we need to learn how to be in the here and now. We have to learn how to be in the here and now. We have to train our nervous system with support, of course, to come back into ventral vagal. So I'm going to be talking about that again in the future from the polyvagal theory, but train our body to come back into rest and digest and learn how to be in safety and learn how to trust our body and trust our safety and trust that the world can be a safe place again. And so when we do that over time, I'm going to speak about physiology here again for a second. So when we do that, when we do start to come into rest and digest and you feel safe, whether that's by yourself or with a person, or you might be in nature, or you might be, you know, doing the things you like doing and spending more time doing those things, your physiology is in a place of rest. And when our physiology is in a place of rest, it gives a break on our nervous system and it gives a break on our endocrine system, our hormones, on our pain signals. And that ultimately can reduce inflammation, which can then reduce the experience of chronic pain, or can support your capacity for the pain condition that you're experiencing. And that's a really, really holistic way to work with it. So being in that physiology of rest is a very restorative thing to do for the body. It's very healing. It's very needed. It's a bit like if you're, you know, when you get jet lagged, you know, and you don't sleep, you feel really out of sorts. You feel a little bit, maybe you feel a little bit drunk or something, or you feel just absolutely exhausted and this sense of inflammation in your body and you just feel really bad. So living a life of trauma is a bit like that. You feel exhausted. Your body is never really fully resting. You might move through different bouts of burnout, but you don't really have a lovely restorative calm rest. And so as we learn to be safer in our somatic selves, in our body, and have more like serenity and peace in our lives and in our minds, it's really, really healing. It's really, really healing for the body. And that's why I'm going to weave in the menstrual cycle awareness work too. That's why the menstrual cycle awareness work is so powerful, because when you're then in that inner winter, which I talk about in episode 11, that is the sleep, if you will. That is the dark of the cycle. The autumn and the winter are the dark. That's the dark side of the moon. It's the dark side of the cycle. It's the darker seasons of the year. And that is the time to rest as much as you can. And there's different ways of resting, and we can talk about that again. So again, your inner winter is your opportunity to come back into yourself, to come home to yourself, to restore your nervous system, to give your body some inner peace. So that's what I'm going to say for you for today. I really have so much hope in you to heal from trauma and to support your journey with healing through chronic pain, or learning to live better with chronic pain, learning to manage symptoms better, learning to know yourself better, learning to be more self-compassionate and less judgmental and be realistic with our expectations. Everyone has their own journey and experience with this stuff and with their trauma. And the more we really start to work with the nervous system and the body, I really think that's a very powerful place to be, yeah, to be supporting our nervous system to come back into rest and into the biology of recovery and possibility and choices and options and hope and connection. And every human has that capacity within themselves, even if it might not seem like that. So that's it for me for today. If you are interested in learning more about this, I have free courses about chronic pain and trauma on my website, lisadioncoaching.com. If you would like one-to-one in-depth support with your own personal journey with this, you can head on over to my website and book a free consultation, and we can have a chat and talk about how we can work together. And if you're interested in training with me as well, I have my 2023 professional menstrual cycle coaching and facilitation professional training coming up. And you can add your name onto the waiting list for that. And we'll be doing webinars over the summer. So yeah, it's been lovely speaking to you. I hope you take really good care of yourself. Mind yourself with these topics. And I will see you next week. Bye. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.